You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
All righty, welcome aboard. It's Prout Financial Design on WTCM with New Retirement Radio. We do it every Thursday at this time. Joining us today, the one and only Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning,
I'm
sir.
Frank, with your northern...
It's not Joel.
Joel. Where did Joel come from? No, he's had his turn.
We do love Joel.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks. He's on the verge of retiring, eh?
He is Mr. on the Joel verge Frank. Of taking that step. I bet he's listening closely to these calls to know...
Indeed. I hope so.
...what not to do and what to do.
You bet. We're giving it a shot. Anyway, thank you for listening today. For all those who are listening and for those who are not, well, it's just so sad. But it's a gorgeous day out there.
Yes.
Maybe a high of 70 or so today.
Sorry, he coughed.
But it's great to be here. Thank you. On Thursday, the 10th of November, and if you are listening to the rebroadcast, it is a rebroadcast indeed on Saturday. Now, we also will be posting eventually on our website the radio shows. That's been a little bit
delayed.
Thank you. That's the word. The word of the day. We have so much going on today. I almost don't know where to start, except that we are in our new office.
Yes. I was going to ask you about that.
Did you finally stop talking about your new office, Dennis?
Yes, we're there. Thank you very much.
I saw the sign was up on the little tower that you have there.
Yes.
You're in there?
Yes, we are. It's so exciting. We've been working on this for so long, and we're so excited to show it off.
Heidi Cartwright is here.
Yes.
That's me.
Let's introduce the people first, Dennis, okay? Heidi Cartwright, RICP Managing Director. Thank you so
much.
Good morning,
Heidi.
It's
great to be here today.
It is great. And great to have you here as well. And Deanne Jennings.
Happy Thursday, everyone.
Hey, great to have you. My gosh. So Deanne is our Director of Operations. And frankly, the director of all the details that needed to happen in order for us to be able to move out of our office and into the new one. Thank you, Deanne. Oh, my gosh.
It's my pleasure.
Deanne has been running, I mean literally running from here to there to try to make sure we're all taken care of and everything's working.
It is so nice to see our staff under one new roof. It's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
Were you able to bring any of your architectural features, doors, windows, or any special things from the old building?
It's so funny. We the front door, I'm thinking, I got to speak with Toby about that because we had that done years ago. It's... I forget, it's a special kind of glass.
And beveled?
Beveled or the, it almost looks like...
Stained glass. The stain part.
Without the stain on it. And hopefully we'll get to do that there. But the office is so practical, usable. We have a lot more meeting rooms, which we need. A lot more workspace for the staff in inputting the materials on their, within the system, getting things done. And it's just wonderful how it turned out.
The swimming pool is really a nice feature there that you have there.
It's a small pool. It's one of those lap pools, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, directly waves against you as you're trying to move ahead.
Right.
I'm personally enjoying the hot tub.
So that's at 8th and Garfield.
It is. 1105 East 8th Street.
8th Street officially.
You bet. And it's interesting. That is an old building. Back in the 50s, it was a grocery store.
Hmm.
And talk about practical for us. I mean, it's a five-year program in the making in terms of what are we going to do, how are we going to do it, where are we going to do it, all that sort of thing. So it worked out great.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great.
Now, no less thanks to Mr. Dave Feelstra and Toby Gavaldon, the gentlemen who oversaw this project, our general contractors. When we first checked this out, no one was available. I mean, the general contractors were saying, maybe 2 years, year and a half, 2 years, because no one wants to hear this anymore, but COVID was going on. There was nobody to be found. So I knew both of these gentlemen and relatively well because they'd not only done work, longtime friends, and I thought they might make a great team. Well, a much better team than we could have ever dreamed in terms of making this project go. And they just soldiered on through all the noise and the junk that was going on and trying to get, work done. The subcontractors were awesome. The details that had to happen, we had the initial design and that went mostly out the door because you have to be able to get supplies, whether it's flooring or whatever else. So anyway, they were so good at that. And
can I just say I worked with Toby and Dave every day, multiple times a day, calling on the phone. And Toby Gavaldon of Gavaldon Renovations and Dave Feelstra were truly a pleasure to work with. And I don't know how many people can say that about working with a contractor.
Yes.
But they truly were a pleasure, and they worked hard. And our building is beautiful. Toby handcrafted. He made most of the cabinets in our building, which are gorgeous.
They're beautiful.
So shout out to them. Thank you. Thank you to our subcontractors, our inspectors, vendors, everyone did such a fantastic job.
We really did. Even though there were issues, and especially with the inspections, they were really good about, all right, we can come back. Here are the things we need to get done. It was just, it was good that way.
Yes.
So we're very grateful. And then one last point on Toby. He has a unique skill in not only knowing what looks good, but how to work with other people. He's got that eye where you say, you don't look at something and go, boy, that's kind of weird looking. Sometimes you get a carpenter who you may not necessarily agree with his style. Well, he's got a unique eye for that stuff, and it's really been helpful. So the first, Heidi's going to be discussing the new changes in IRAs, contribution amounts, 401k amounts, the new tax numbers in terms of brackets. Some inflation interesting happening there. And this is interesting. We have a lot of announcements here to make, but the stock market is up significantly today.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it interesting, thinking background, I think just at about the height of our discomfort was at about 9:30 and at September 30th. And isn't it interesting to think back on that? I was not without my own discomfort, if you will. And we had some pretty serious conversations going back to that. And since then, the market is up about 18% or so since that time.
Is there a feeling you had talked before about there might be, where is the bottom? Is there a feeling you think that after substantial losses in the last half year or so that maybe we've hit bottom?
I'm never willing to say that, frankly, because that to me is a fool's errand. I don't know that.
Yeah.
But I would say this: the numbers are appearing to tell us that inflation is starting to be under control. But guess what? The demand is lessening, whether it's homes or food. People are changing their buying habits, and that's causing prices, the increase in prices, to wane. And that's what the market is looking at. And they're getting those numbers, and that's what they were thinking might happen in terms of the markets moving forward to this degree since September 30th. The markets are always looking ahead, as we've discussed. Jeremy Siegel, a noted economist, a real good market prognosticator, was talking yesterday or the day before about this very same thing. He has a great reputation for being pretty accurate about this. He said, I think we're going to see a waning of inflation, and the numbers should be very good going forward in terms of the Fed's backing off somewhat on these rising interest rates. And there you go, right there. So we'll see. It's good news to see and hear. All right, so today we're talking about the five-step guide to plan to IRA rollovers, or from plan to IRA rollovers. This can apply from anyone to age 50 to 85. and or even younger, if you've been let go from your company, or you've long ago retired and are considering taking money out of a 401k because you're frankly tired of it. Now, Deanne's got some really interesting stats on this too. But these five steps can be critical, and you need to be methodical in taking a look at this because it may not be quite as simple as you think or thought. Number one, are company plans even accessible? The first step is to make sure the funds intended to be rolled over are accessible. Roth contributions cannot be withdrawn before age 59 and a half while employees working, except for hardships. In addition, many plans do not allow withdrawals of employer contributions before that time. Finally, most defined benefit pension plans do not permit in-service withdrawals at all. So we're talking about in-service, but company plan funds are not always accessible. This could be 401k, 403b, 457. So it could be a variety of accounts. So when you're looking at this, you really need to call the administrator. And I would recommend that you have an advisor with you to help you decipher what it is they're saying. Because they may hedge on this, and or they may say, well, okay, you have a certain portion that you can roll over, but this other portion you may not be able to, whatever it is. And then the other thing is, you may not want to, which we'll be talking about too. Step two, can the distribution even be rolled over? Even if fund plans can be reached, that does not necessarily mean that they can be rolled. Not all company plan distributions are eligible for rollover. The second step, ensure the funds fit into the eligible for rollover category. Jeez, I mean, really, right? Why do we have to go into this kind of detail? Because you may be surprised. Oh my gosh, okay, so I have appreciated stock in my plan. I guess I was buying stock years and years. I do see that. I mean, the conversations we have with clients. Well, yeah, I have some Caterpillar stock in my 401k. All right. How long ago did you buy it? Eons ago. Do you have any idea what the cost basis is? Is my first one of my first questions. Cost basis? No, I have no idea. Well, the plan should know. Well, yeah, I think I see a number next to that. I mean, that's a conversation from almost 20 years ago. It has a snap memory once in a while. So it required. So everything else can be rolled over. The most common non-eligible distributions are, and I'm kind of reading from Ed Slott's recent newsletter here from November. Required minimum distributions cannot be rolled over. If you're over the age of 72, and meaning then that you're no longer with the company, you have to take your RMD first. Your required minimum distribution has to come out before your rollover. Okay? Periodic payments. If you're taking continuing payments under what's called the IRS code 72T, you can't roll those. Can't roll. Hardship distributions. This prevents an employee from skirting the rules by rolling over funds that he or she claimed were needed to address an immediate financial need. Hardship distributions can't be rolled. Well, yeah, I've changed my mind. Sorry, doesn't work that way. Non-spouse beneficiaries could be children or parents. Worst case scenario, You know, son or daughter passes away. You are the primary beneficiary. You are a non-spouse beneficiary. You can't roll that over to a direct, you can't do a direct transfer to your own IRA. It has to go to a properly named beneficiary IRA. All right, so keep that in mind. Well, what if I just want to take it out and pay the tax? You can always do that. But if you don't want to pay the tax in the lump sum, and or you want to continue the deferral of that account, given today's ever-rising stock market, you know, whatever, right? Yes. Three, is an IRA rollover the best option? And maybe this is the best question. Other choices that may be more advantageous, including doing a Roth conversion as part of the Roth IRA rollover. Maybe you want to convert some of the money directly to the Roth as a part of the overall rollover. Why would I want to do that? Well, because the price happens to be down at this particular point in time, whenever that is, and you want to do a Roth as well as the IRA transfer, okay?
Maybe you're in a lower tax bracket because you're not working the full year as in the past, and you have more room in that tax bracket.
Great point. Thank you. Rolling over, second, you may want to roll to another employer plan. Well, I've gone to XYZ, and they've got the best 401k plan in the planet. Why wouldn't I do that? You're exactly right. Why wouldn't you? It makes a ton of sense. So in some cases, simplicity, better options maybe, and maybe a variety of reasons. You say, simplicity, I mean, really, I just want to keep it in one place. Well, you know, talk through that with your advisor. Take a look at those accounts. What are they? What do you have available? Can that make sense? Yes, sir.
Are there costs affiliated with rolling accounts over?
No.
No.
In most cases, I'm going to qualify that. Once in a while, you see a 401k that'll have an administrative fee of $50 to $75. That's usually what we might see, okay? But it's usually minimal. Rolling over to another plan, as we mentioned, taking a lump sum. I want to pay the tax. Or this is a prerequisite for an employee who has highly appreciated company stock. We mentioned that. Highly appreciated. What would that mean? So let's say you paid $10,000 all in on your Caterpillar stock, and it's worth $120,000 today. All that never happens. Oh, you want to bet? Yeah, you bet it does. So if it's been in there that long, what would that mean? To make a long story short, that $10,000, if you take it out as NUA or net unrealized appreciation, or Ed, are you listening closely? Yes. Okay, great. $10,000 is the only taxable amount when you take it out under a properly negotiated and handled NUA agreement. So the $10,000 is the only portion that's taxable because you're only paying tax on the basis of that stock. What about the other, in this case, it's worth $120,000. What about the other $110,000? You do not pay the tax until you decide to liquidate it when it's outside of the account. But picture this. You can roll that into your IRA if you want to, or you can just take it out. And what if you just want to take the dividends from Caterpillar stock? I have no idea what they are. But let's just use that as an example still. Let's say it's 3 or 4%. You get a huge tax break on the dividends because the dividends are only partially taxable. And you then also, if you like Caterpillar stock, you like the company, what it's doing, whatever, all of that, it can make sense to just hang in there on that stock and let it continue, hopefully, to appreciate into the future. And you never pay any more tax if you don't sell it beyond the $10,000 of your basis that's taxable when you take it out.
But it also gives you that option as well where you could slowly liquidate it over time. You'd pay tax on that gain, but you could do it in small increments and then get less of a tax hit.
You pay tax only in the capital gains rates, not current income tax rates, which is a huge difference. Usually you're going to save at least half on the tax when you liquidate the stock outside of the plan. So another option, eh?
Taxes.
Radical. So crazy.
Strategies.
Leaving the funds in the plan and doing an in-plan conversion of non-Roth dollars to Roth accounts. Well, okay, I want to do an in-plan Roth conversion. I know I'll have to pay the tax on it, but for whatever reason, that can make more sense to me at this particular point in time. So you see, we've only gotten to step three. I don't know that we'll have time. We may have time at the end of the show to cover the rest of it, but you really want to go in with your eyes wide open on this, and this is a great article from Mr. Ed Slott, and frankly, I'm thinking this will probably be part of our packet that we make available to all those clients who are considering rollovers because it's that well done and well thought out.
Is that newsletter, that's not available to
the general public.
To civilians,
no.
Right?
Right. Okay. But if a civilian should want this, this is November of 22, Ed Slott's IRA advisor. If you would like it, just contact our office, Beth, at our office, 231-947-3992. The phone number is the same as it always was. Discussing the new numbers, some of the new numbers for next year for 23. In essence, for some, maybe a lower in taxes, but for all, it means that you most likely have more space to contribute more next year, if you'd like, at least, okay?
Right. So a couple of weeks ago, if people remember, Bob Simpson was here, and we were talking about the increase, the COLA increase for Social Security, so more income. Well, you know, that inflation numbers actually impact other things. The IRS makes annual inflation adjustments to dozens of tax provisions, including the standard deduction and the income tax brackets, based on formulas that are set out in federal law. So that's where that comes from. So inflation adjustments aren't tax cuts, but are intended to help offset the effects of rising prices. People who get raises next year to help offset the effects of inflation could still face bigger tax bills for the 2023 year, even with the higher tax bracket thresholds. So again, this just tells you, you know, once you look at something and you have to go back and look at it each year, because these things change. And, you know, you want to try to be as most efficient as possible. And when I say that, we want you to keep as much of your own money as possible and pay the least amount in taxes.
By the way, so the IRS raised the tax bracket threshold.
They did.
For Social Security recipients or everybody?
Everybody. Everybody.
I thought that had to be done in Congress.
No, there's a...
They just upped the threshold for the tax rates.
No, that's not a congressional thing. This inflation
adjustment. There's a
formula.
Yeah.
So Congress probably passed the formula. So
right.
If inflation goes up, the tax rates, brackets go up. Okay.
They right. allowed that to happen, obviously, okay. And the IRS is simply following through.
Got it.
To my understanding.
So this the quote here, and I'm reading from a Wall Street Journal article, it says, this really isn't a gift to taxpayers. It's more like trying to keep you in the same boat.
Yeah.
So that's the way to look at it. So some of the things to take a look at is, and I'm just going to go over just a couple of the tax brackets because it's just a lot of numbers and I don't want to overwhelm people with numbers, but just to give you an example of what the impact is. So for a single person in the 10% bracket right now for this year, 2022, that bracket stops at $10,275. So you have to be there or below for that 10% bracket. That is going to go up to $11,000 next year for 2023. So let's look at the 12% bracket. For 12% bracket, a single individual making up to $41,775 for 2022. In 2023, that number goes up to $44,725. And for married, it's going from this year, $83,550 to $89,450.
That means you don't pay tax. Oh, that means
you don't go to the next bracket until you exceed that.
Okay.
So the brackets have been expanded upwards so that you're, in essence, you're going to pay the same 12% rate on an increased income. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes
yeah.
sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's
Excellent.
A good way of stating it. So let's talk about the standard deduction. The standard deduction, which shields some income from taxes, and the income thresholds where tax rate hikes take effect, will both rise about 7% in 2023 for tax returns filed in 2024. So that's for next year's tax year. It's going up to $13,850 per individual from current 2022, which is $12,950. So that's another thing that will impact your taxes.
What's
there.
The joint married one up number on that? Any idea? Oh, that's right, if you don't have it right
she's
there.
Got the, yeah, she's got it.
Well, it's double what the individual is. So for this year, the married is $25,900.
Okay.
Okay, so that's just an example of some of the things that are changing. Also, for a healthcare flexible spending account, the limit to put in that was $2,850. Next year, it'll be $3,050.
Okay, so that's about a 6-7% increase or so, roughly, too. So all these seem to be in the 6-8% increase range or so. Yeah,
all right.
Great.
So let's look at 401k contributions, since we were just talking about 401ks. Mm-hmm. So in 2022, the contribution limit was $20,500. And those are for the people under 50 who don't get that extra catch-up contribution. People over 50, it was $27,000 because you get another $6,500. This is for 401k or employer plans. So next year, that base amount is going to jump up from to $22,500.
So that's almost a 10% increase, or about 10% right. increase in the amount that an individual, single individual, could put into a 401k plan. Any individual can make within a 401k if they're under the age of 50.
Right, and then over 50, you would get that $6,500 right. catch-up additional. Okay, so then we turn to contribution limits for IRAs. So let's take a look at those. The contribution limit for a traditional IRA in 2022 is $6,000 or your taxable income, whatever is lower. So if you don't make at least $6,000, you can't put $6,000 in. That's what that means. If you're 50 or older by the end of the year, then you can contribute $7,000. So that's where we are right now. So for 2023, that $6,000 amount is going up to $6,500. And then for people over 50, that $7,000 is going up to $7,500. So an increase of $500 to that individual IRA contribution limits.
So pretty good increases both on the 401k, 403b side. This applies to both of those accounts and plans. And keep in mind, when you're contributing to a 401k Roth or a 403b Roth, there are no income limitations as there are for regular Roth contributions in an IRA. So these increased numbers can really make a difference, of course, over time to the maximum that you can put in, and or hopefully by the time you retire to the amount accumulated. Okay.
Yeah. So just going just a little bit deeper, we won't dive too much deeper because it's a lot of numbers, but if you and your spouse are covered, or if you are an individual, if you're covered by an employer-sponsored retirement plan, again, we'll use 401k as an example, then the traditional IRA tax deduction may be limited based on your income. So that's a general rule. Well, those amounts are going to change as well. So just for example, for a single person, head of household, if you made less than $68,000 and you're already in a plan at work, that could limit how much you can deduct for making a separate outside IRA contribution. That amount is going up to $73,000. So from 68 to 73. So just because you couldn't do it this year, next year you may be able to. So those are some of the things that you want to keep track of so that you might have more opportunity to work on that, how much you're going to pay in tax, what that income number is going to be for you. And that also goes for married couples as well, which and if you have questions about what those numbers are, you can call our office for a copy. Also, this article is from Forbes, and it's available online as well. So
everything continues to go up. You know, and we said the other day, I used to go get a small order of fries and a small Coke at McDonald's when I was a kid, 42 cents.
Every day
I left my house, I had to have 42 cents. It's over $3 now.
Wow.
Someday it'll be 20. I'd say a small Coke and fries, that'll be $21, please.
Yeah. Interesting.
Cars, I mean, they used to be $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Now they're, you know, 50, 60, 70.
Yeah, I remember when my brother bought a Pontiac Le Mans. I think it was a 1972. And from my recollection, it was advertised as being $1,900 brand new. That was in 72, of course. So that shows you the impact of inflation.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Having some of your investments that perform along with inflation. It's really interesting because you mentioned that gold and silver have not historically been a great inflation hedge, but they are a great hedge in terms of currency issues, and they've really been moving here recently. So that's always interesting. While very volatile, they're also can be good hedges in the long term against uncertainty.
Uncertainty.
We'll leave it at that. So that those can make sense. So lots to think about and look at when it really comes to the markets, tax brackets. that if you can include each of these in your considerations, you'll tend to do better over time. It just makes sense. It's never, well, usually, it's almost never just one thing that makes the difference. It's all of the components together working that really make a difference in your long-term financial
health.
All
those chess pieces on the chessboard.
That's right.
So one thing I did want to just point out, because you were talking about rollovers from a company plan.
Sure.
Contribution limits that I've been talking about, those are different things. Rollovers don't add to those contribution limits. So if you're rolling over, it doesn't go towards those limitations that I have.
Right. And neither do. There are no limits on Roth conversions either. Many believe inaccurately, well, I can't do a Roth. That's if you're putting new money into an IRA and your income is above a certain limit. You can always convert whatever amount you want to pay the tax on from your IRA to a Roth. There are no income limitations on that. So that's one of many misconceptions people have,
Somebody asked, we were talking about the Powerball the other day, and someone wanted to know your thoughts on that. If you have any general advice on what folks would do, or even, this is more of probably a tax or banking question, but isn't the limit, if you put savings into a bank, isn't it protected up to $250,000?
Right.
If you had $600 million cash you won in the Powerball after taxes, how would you, I mean, what could you do to protect that?
If you wanted 100% protection and you believed in the U.S. government, you'd simply buy treasury bills with it. That's what Warren Buffett does.
Can you cash those out?
Warren has that much cash, yes.
Yeah. And so what does he do? He's collecting current interest from highly negotiable, safe and sound as can be, paper from the treasury. Mm. Now, what's interesting about that, because I'd heard you'd been talking about this, Ron, I kind of cheated a couple of days ago, and I saw this article in the Wall Street Journal. And the key component is how much tax is going to be paid. Now, the lump sum is about $1 billion. You know, not bad, eh? Not bad for a single day at the office. So $1 billion. The amount of tax on that, roughly $400 million or so, because you're going to be in the maximum tax bracket for that year. $400 million. Not a small sum. Now, let's just think about that for a minute. Well, I want to check anyway. Okay, so you just owe the Fed $400 million. What are my other options? Well, you could take the annuity, that continuing payment. What does that start at? Almost exactly, I think it was 4%. I think it was 4. I don't think it was 5. That's what I'm hedging on. It was either 4 or 5%. But let's just say, no, it was 5. Starts at 5%. And increasing by 5% per year, I think, was the number. So at the end of a typical 30-year period, instead of being 5% of the amount, it was going to be like $112 million at the end of a 20- or 30-year period. So it was significant. I wish I had the article. Hmm. Bottom line is this. If you decided, I still want that income, but what if I want to give it away? One option, set up a charitable trust. Charitable trust is good for up to 20 years, and you could increase, if it's a charitable remainder trust, under a unit trust provision, a CRUT, charitable remainder unit trust, you could increase the amount of your income by the amount of your portfolio increase each year. So you could theoretically start at 5%. That's an easy number to get from using a CRUT, if you will. So you could start at the same income, and theoretically, at you and your spouse's death, give 100% of it to charity. Well, what's the difference? None of that money is taxed. You avoid $400 million in tax.
But can you pay yourself out of that?
You can, through that charitable trust arrangement.
Yeah.
It's radical. And why did Warren Buffett set... I feel like a preacher. But why did Warren Buffett set this up for his estate? Because you avoid all that tax, whether it's estate tax or income tax. That is phenomenal. So, and you don't have to do that with the whole thing, but you could certainly with a portion of it, properly controlled and handled with darn good estate planning attorneys and financial advice on the other side. What are my different charitable trusts available? What could I do? That's just one simple example avoiding all the tax, at the end of your life, giving 100% of it to charity.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you're taking the same income as the annuity provision would have given you anyway.
Wow. So if you win a big amount, they say hide that ticket, lock it up, don't sign it. Don't sign it yet.
That's
because,
right.
And then tax attorney, financial planner, whatever.
Yeah. It's amazing what can be done when you, and now this same thing applies for smaller amounts. So really, you know, think about it, all right?
Remember the early days, talk about inflation. People got excited about the Michigan State Lottery where you could win...
$1 million.
And that was a big deal, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, nice number.
Yeah.
Hey, Deanne, stats.
Absolutely. A new survey reveals Americans' magic number for retirement. Americans now think they need at least $1.25 million for retirement. It's a 20% increase from a year ago, according to a survey by Northwestern Mutual.
Why not? Everything else is up, right?
Exactly.
Except marijuana. The price of marijuana is going down.
Interesting.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Supply versus demand. That's what it comes down to, right?
Yep.
While Americans say they will need more money after they retire, the average amount in a retirement savings account has dropped this year to $86,869, an 11% decline from 2021, and the source was Northwestern Mutual.
That's the average amount in a retirement account. That must be a lot of younger people, early savers.
Yeah, hopefully so.
Yeah, we're hoping.
I'm not sure the average age. That'd be really interesting. What is the average age for that number?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference between the 1.25 million.
I know. You got a ways to go. I know.
Climb every mountain, right?
I know. Yeah. The expected retirement age ticked up to 64 years of age, compared with the 62.6 last year. Of those who are putting off retirement, 59% said they wanted to work more to save money, and 45% said they were worried about rising health care costs or had an unexpected medical cost, and that source is Northwestern Mutual.
Yeah, what's interesting is while that number may have ticked up, most people... retire much earlier than intended. Healthcare issues, job change, whether their own idea or the idea of their employer, lots of other issues. When we're teaching that class, it's amazing how many, the percentage think that they'll work until 70 declines dramatically as they approach or get to that point. Mm. So while they may say that they want to, that number's always up for grabs. The reality, you bet.
Life kicks in, huh?
Yep.
In the Pew Charitable Trust survey, respondents could select multiple reasons why they plan to roll over savings into an IRA. 38% said to consolidate the number of accounts. 37% said they like the investment options in an IRA. 15% said they trust the IRA provider to manage savings. 26% said better performing funds are in an IRA. 36% said they wanted access to professional management and advice. 25% said the IRA has lower fees than a current plan. And 63%, which was the most important reason, they said they wanted more control over their savings. And that source is Pew Charitable Trust Survey.
Pretty interesting. Just about double the other responses.
Absolutely.
Control.
Yes. Control.
Yes. How much time do we have here, Ron? Thank you.
We have about 5 minutes, four to five.
So great. So step four, we want to continue the plan to IRA rollover notes. How should a rollover be done? Once a decision is made to roll over plan funds to an IRA, there are two ways to accomplish the task. A direct transfer, also known as a direct rollover. So this can be interchangeable. Or a 60-day rollover. Generally, you don't want to do a 60-day rollover because...
mistakes can happen.
Yes.
It could be too long, and it becomes ineligible, and it's so sad to see that.
Right. Plus, they're going to withhold 20%.
Yes.
If you do a 60-day rollover, that means that you took the check made payable to you. So they have to withhold 20%, and unless you make it up from your own funds, that's going to be called taxable income. So if you had $100,000 coming out of that plan, and they withheld $20,000, and you decide later, 30 days later, well, I'm going to put this in my IRA. Unless you put the full $100,000 in, that $20,000 that they withheld is called taxable income to you. Brutal, right?
Yep.
The direct transfer method is highly recommended for a number of reasons. Yep, tax consequences. Distribution may be immediately taxable and subject to penalties as well. It may not be, the 10% regular penalty because you're under 59.5. It includes also the tax. So both those are included together. All these issues can be avoided by doing a direct transfer. Often plan administrators will insist on, however, mailing a check to you, the individual. Keep that in mind. In that case, be sure to have the administrator make the check payable to the receiving IRA custodian, XYZ IRA Trust, for the benefit of John D. Doe, as an example.
If it goes to you, you pay tax?
You know, if it goes to you made payable to your new IRA, then it's not taxable.
Right.
But if it goes directly to you made in your name, that's where the problem is. I don't want it directly to my name.
But
I want it made payable to the IRA trustee.
If that does happen, if you mess up and that does happen, you have only 60 days to get it into an IRA to avoid tax on the full amount. You'll still have that folding, but if it happens, make sure to go in and see somebody right away. Don't wait.
Can you not cash the check? Can you call them and say, cancel that and make out a new one to my trustee?
Some plans might allow that. That'd be really an interesting conversation. We've had people come in, if you will, off the street who we hadn't handled those transactions for. And, trying to pick up the pieces. Sometimes you can, sometimes you cannot. It just it really is, given the situation, what that's going to look like. How is the rollover reported? It's reported on Form 1040. The taxpayer reports the transferred amount on line 5A. But shows zero on line 5B, which is the taxable amount, if it's a proper transfer or rollover made directly to the IRA trustee. Do not pass go. The conclusion is this. With large amounts of company plan retirement funds at stake, it is crucial that employees make the proper decision about how to dispose of these funds when leaving their job. Determining accessibility and rollover eligibility are the first steps. Number one. Next, deciding whether an IRA rollover is your best option. If it is, choosing the proper way to carry out the transfer. Finally, thirdly, it's important to understand that tax implications and how to properly report the transaction. Okay?
Probably shouldn't do any big move unless you talk to an expert so you don't get burned on the taxes.
The wise person seeks counsel.
Yes.
That one's from the Bible, man.
Absolutely.
And bank on it. Seek counsel, okay?
Prout Financial Design, every Thursday, 10 to 11. We repeat the program Saturday mornings from 9 to 10. You can find, you will be able to find past programs on the website, proutfinancialdesign.com. And you'll be able to find them now at 8th and Garfield in Traverse City.
Welcome. Come see us.
If you get there and no one's there, check the bakery next door.